As a millennial, it's really common for you to want the financial security doing what you love. The problem is, you need to know where and how to find it. This can be frustrating, and it often makes you feel like a loser.
In Finding Mojo, we will help the millennials to get started in their journey to contented life by building the networks of life and at the same time benefiting the people around them. Welcome to Finding Mojo with Zana and Nico.
Hello everyone, welcome back to Finding Mojo with Zana and Nico, the podcast for millennials on the go. It's Zana here, and together with me is Nico. Nico, who is our guest for this episode?
Zana, you know, tell you honestly, this is the safest I have ever felt doing this podcast because we have a doctor joining us today. Now, she is an internist cardiologist who does rounds at the Cebu Doctors University Hospital, over Chongwa Hospital, the Visayas Community Medical Center, and also at the My Health Clinic. Now, she will also share to us her experiences this pandemic as a frontliner taking care of her brothers and sisters who were COVID patients. Now, apart from being in the medical field, she also runs a food catering business on the side, among other interests. So for those of you who follow this podcast, please help me welcome Dr. Cecil Cabias-Haca. Hi, Doc.
Hello, hello. Good afternoon. Hi, Zana and Nico. Thank you for inviting me here and giving me this opportunity to share my experience, my thoughts, and possible tips to our young audience.
Oh, my pleasure, Doc. Yeah. We are honored to have you here on our podcast. Thank you for your time. I know you've been you are really busy today, and you have your round this afternoon as well. So we're going to make it quick.
Doc, this is the perfect time to actually talk to you because with this pandemic still not apparently ending anytime soon because of the new strain or what have you that's already out in the open, the Omicron variant of this pandemic. We're going to touch base with that in a little bit, but tell us more about your experience during the peak of COVID-19 pandemic, like last year.
Yeah, so wow, it's really a good starter question, Nico, no? So the peak of the pandemic, that would be sometime March, April of 2020, up to, I think, June or July 2020, when we even became number one in the Philippines, no, in terms of cases.
Oh, yes, we were at the epicenter. Yeah. Yes, yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it was really scary, no? Really scary. We doctors were really fear-stricken, even panic-stricken. For the first time in my life, I experienced so much fear, so much uncertainty. I mean, I am a very strong person. Seldom do I break down and crack down. But during that time, I was really so scared. Scared because first, we are dealing with an unseen enemy, diba? So a novel one, a new virus at that, which we never knew or heard of. A virus that our body, our immune system has never encountered before. So we didn't have that much knowledge as to the mode of transmission, the extent of damage it can do to our body, its complications, and worse, we don't know how to beat it. So no vaccines yet, no treatment. Me, no, as an internist or cardiologist, had the opportunity to handle several of these COVID-19 positive patients. Some were old patients of mine, and some were also referred to me because of existing cardiac problems. You have to understand that not only the SARS-CoV-2, no, the virus, target the lungs, but it can also involve or include the heart, the brain, the kidneys, and even the stomach. That's why some of the COVID patients will present with LBM. Remember the Delta variant?
Right, right.
Yes, it can already present with LBM, or loose bowel movement. So, so all hospitals that time team up with the COVID team. It's a separate team of doctors who handle COVID positive patients. It normally includes two specialties. We have the infectious disease specialist, And we have the pulmonologist or the lung specialist. Plus, the nurses specialize in handling COVID patients because not all nurses are trained or equipped to handle them. So a cardiologist can be a part of the team when called and needed. When we had this decking system for the COVID team, since most of the senior doctors did not handle COVID patients, since they were also high risk. So we were left with the young and the relatively young especially to handle those COVID patients. So in one hospital, you can be decked at least once or once every 2 months, depending on the need and the number of cases. But in my case, I was affiliated to 4 hospitals. So I was decked in the team more often. I was exposed more. So I remember that time. No? Sorry, ha? Tukatim na kay ko. No? So,
it's fine. It's fine, dog.
I really want to share this, Mangod. I remember the time when I had my very first admission, my very first COVID positive patient. It was, I think, April of 2020. It was a case of a severe pneumonia who developed heart attack during his hospital course. During that time, I can't really understand my feeling then. One emotion was very clear to me. I was scared, super scared. Again, scared for myself. Questions like, what if I get infected? Mm-hmm. And what if I infect my relatives and friends? Second, how do I properly manage this type of patient? This is a new case.
Mm-hmm.
Scared for my relatives, no, and friends. I, for one, have a senior aunt who I visit regularly. So I remember so well that I prayed several times before I made my rounds. I remember my prayer, no, Lord, I commit myself to you. Into your hands, I commit myself to you. Please send me your Holy Spirit and guide me all the way. Looking back, no, COVID-19 patients were really different. It changed and defined what we've learned in our daily practice and in our textbooks. Like, for example, no, in a severe COVID pneumonia patient, patients can have oxygen levels in their body as low as 10 to 23%. The normal oxygen level in our body is about 92.
That's
and
right.
above. 92% and above is in room temperature with no oxygen. No? Before, in our bacterial pneumonia patient, if they have oxygen levels of like 85 to 88%, we already intubate them. No? We put tubes inside their mouth and attach them to.
Wow.
Yes.
Even
at 85 to 88%. Mm-hmm. But with COVID patients, they can go as low as 20%. I recall I even had one patient with 9% oxygen level. I was even asking my resident physician, are you sure it's 9%? It's not 19. Yes, doc, it's 9%. Okay. So some patients will just present with a very fast breathing. You might think that he or she might have just an oxygen level of 70, 85. But lo and behold, if you put the kind of pulse oximeter, they get an oxygen level as low as 20%. And these COVID patients, they can deteriorate fast and they can, you know, die fast. Some are unpredictable and suddenly dies. No? They are labeled 1 minute, they are okay. You think they're already improved. We transport them out of the ICU. You think that they're already out of, you know, out of the woods. But suddenly the patient dies out of the ICU, you know? So it's really frustrating, no? So devastating.
Doc, with the influx of the patients that were coming in, especially during the peak of the pandemic, for sure the stress levels would have been high as for you and for everyone around you, especially the frontliners. For you, Doc says, what were your coping mechanisms then?
Yeah, so definitely stress levels were sky high during that time. I mean, we doctors were supposed to be trained to cope up with stress easily. No? But with COVID-19, the stress was that of a different level. A lot of doctors and nurses were really very stressed out. No? And to the point of having breakdowns. And some, I know if you heard about some nurses who committed suicide in some parts of in other countries. No? So, we really need these stressors. to keep our sanity intact. So for me, my distressors were, of course, number one, cooking. No? I have a catering business. I co-own a catering business. So and I took up a short stint of basic culinary stint. So luckily, during the pandemic, this business was still going on. So it was an online catering business. So my partner and I cooked. So it was one form of a distressor for me. And I prayed a lot. Prayed harder and listen to a lot of religious relaxing music. I video called my relatives and friends more often. I played with my dogs often and I exercise more.
You know, when you are in that high stress level, it's good that you go into your other things you're passionate about. Like with you, it's cooking, and you know, it's a good distressor as well. How does your family, like when you go home, it's like how your family actually react to, because they know that you've been exposed to COVID patients, but how does your family react to or responding to their stress level as well?
Oh, they're very supportive. That's the good thing about it. We really, at this time of the pandemic, we really need to have a very good support team. They were very supportive, but at one point, of course, during the peak of the pandemic, of course, there was the scare, no? Especially in going home. I really have to change a lot, no? In my outfit, because during the pandemic, you cannot wear what you have worn during your rounds inside the house. You cannot bring it in the house. So I do all the protocols first, do the UV light, radiation, alcohol disinfection, and remove everything. All is left is the one underneath, the sando or the legging. That's what's left of it. And that one would end up also in the basket, not entering the house. So it was really difficult, especially for me because I was handling for hospitals. So from the different hospitals, I have to change. I have to follow all the protocols. I really have to change often and practice the protocols of disinfection before going home. Some of my colleagues even did not return home for some time, like a few months or for 6 months.
Because, so they stayed somewhere else? Like
they rented a condo, and some hospitals provided for the staff.
I can't imagine, you know, like after a very busy day, you know, like you doing your rounds and helping people. And then like us or like me, if I had a really bad day, a really long, big day, I just come home and just like, you know, lying on the sofa. You had to actually go through that cleaning ritual first.
Yes.
And that takes a long time, right?
Yes. It's supposed to be our comfort zone. But during the pandemic, you have to do first all those protocols before going home, and it was really time consuming, really stressful.
During the pandemic, you know, like what I get most from COVID, you know, the good things that came out of the pandemic for me is it gives me time to reassess what is important in my life, you know, what I'm here for and what we can live without in our life. You know, there are lots of things that during COVID, you know, I realized that, oh, I don't need this. There's a lot of material things that you don't need during COVID.
Yes. You know? I agree. I agree with that, Zana, because I, for one, we doctors, no, we cardiologists, we do our clinics every day. Every day, morning, afternoon, there's no chosen or given time. Any time of the day, you can be called. But the beauty or the bright side of this pandemic is that we were given a chance to reset. And then we were given a chance to realize that it's not all about earning money. It's not all about, you know, work. And we have realized that we can thrive with even an MWF or a 2 to 3 day clinic. That's a realization. And we can do a lot of things that we never have done, if not for this pandemic. We didn't have much time because most of our time was concentrated more in our career. So in this pandemic, we had more time to, you know, pay our bills, ourselves.
Right.
Yes, that's true.
Yes,
I never had the time to look into those kind of bitong mga, the bills,
right,
my insurances, and all those things. And suddenly, with this pandemic, I had all the time in the world to look into that.
Yeah. When things slowed down, you had the time to check out the trivial things. What seemed to be trivial things, now you took time to check.
It
makes you aware of what's really important, really, isn't okay. it? Yeah, and it's like life is it's not a race, you know. I think COVID makes everyone slow down.
True.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah. It makes you realize that you only live once.
True.
Definitely. Doc says, I want to throw this question in because the virus is still out there and you have the new variant. Yeah,
variant?
The Omicron variant. Yeah.
The
Omicron variant. Now, what do you say to those people who still think vaccines are not effective?
Yeah, so that's a good question. It's a good thing that you asked this, no? Mm-hmm. Well, I am not really in the position to say at this point, no, how effective mm-hmm. the vaccines are.
Mm-hmm.
But based on experience and the experiences of my colleagues and some data in the hospitals that I am affiliated to,
mm-hmm.
there's really a difference. We can see the difference in our patients' presentation, symptoms-wise. If you compare COVID-19 patients who are vaccinated and unvaccinated, mind you, when we do our endorsements now, no, when we talk about our patients, vaccine status is included in the data. So vaccinated mm-hmm. COVID-19 patients present now with milder symptoms, especially even in our elderly patients, no, as compared to that of unvaccinated patients. And we have observed that the vaccinated patients have better outcomes. Most of the deaths and mortalities were that of the unvaccinated patients. So as you can observe the trend also, no, the more people vaccinated, the more improved are our cases. Milder symptoms already, and the cases are really going down. But of course, this is with fingers crossed. Okay? You know, given the, again, the new variant and the mutations that are coming out, no? The Omicron. What do I have to say to those non-vaccine believers? Well, I respect your choice and your opinion. But you have to remember, it is not just all about you. It's about our loved ones, our colleagues, our friends, our country, and our world. So that's it.
Okay. Now, Doc, do you think we're gearing towards the end game of this pandemic, or should we brace ourselves for more challenges? I mean, we have the Omicron, but do you think there will be more mutations? And does this lead to more booster shots?
Yeah, it's really hard to tell. At this point in time, given the high bulk of vaccination turnout, plus the lowering of cases, no, again, fingers crossed, hopefully, and probably, if we just continue to strengthen our immune system by getting vaccinated and follow the health protocols and hopefully achieve the so-called herd immunity that we are aiming at, we can win this battle and hopefully eradicate this virus. But I think it would be difficult to really eradicate this virus, since this is a cousin of our kanang common cold viruses, no, or flu viruses, and it's respiratory in transmission. So it might stay. But if we vaccinate and strengthen our immune system, we can downgrade them. We can downgrade this virus to be just like the simple cold or flu virus.
Right.
It's really hard to eradicate this virus. We also don't have a treatment yet, Manggud.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can come up with one, remember AIDS virus? It took us almost 20 years to come up with a treatment. Hopefully, we can find a treatment.
Yeah, hopefully soon. It will be like a cold and flu where we know
our body would know how to defeat, or our immune system will have the memory cells to know how to defeat them. But for now, we cannot be complacent because like any other virus, this SARS-CoV-2, you know, this COVID-19 virus keeps on mutating and it keeps coming up with upgraded variants which are more infective, can present with different symptoms apart from what we already know.
Coming to holiday season and then at Christmas, where everybody visit each other, the travel restriction now is lighter. You know, everybody can travel from anywhere. And I heard Philippines is going to open to tourists to come in. You know, what would be your advice for, you know, like for us to, like when we're visiting families and all that during this Christmas time? How do we protect ourselves?
Oh, yes. Again, we have to follow all the health protocols that are the WHO and our own DOH has released and recommended. Just the simple wearing of the mask properly, hand washing, disinfection, social distancing, avoid crowds. No? And if you cannot avoid, observe the proper protocol and get vaccinated, please. That is our, the only way that we can, you know, defeat and end this pandemic. We have to have herd immunity and we have to strengthen our immune system. Because it keeps on mutating. Yeah.
How important is the booster shot, Doug says?
Yes, very important because textbook-wise, no, our antibodies will just last for about 6 months. Now, these vaccines are there to promote or to help our immune system produce antibodies. But these antibodies will just stay for like 6 months in our body. So we have to keep on having those booster doses and hopefully come up with a good number of antibodies. And if ever we encounter that virus again, we will have enough antibodies to fight it. And we also have memory cells. No? So not only antibodies, we have a lot of soldiers actually in our body, in our immune system. Those patients who had COVID-19 or who were infected with COVID-19 will also develop memory cells, wherein the next time around that this virus would infect them, the memory cells would know and would tell all the other soldiers, all the antibodies and other soldiers in the immune system that, hey, I know this virus. This infected us a few months ago, and I know how to beat this. So that's how important also vaccination is, because it will help or promote antibody production in our body. Last for 6 months lang.
So in a nutshell, your booster shots are kind of like software updates for the phone, if you want to dumb it down.
Yes.
That's probably the simpler way.
Right.
Simpler way. Yeah, interesting way of, you know, educating our millennials.
Doc says that's my role here. Dumb things down.
Yeah.
Doc, you talked about cooking real quick. I know about this because Doc says runs an online catering business together with the boyfriend. It's called Manlid's Kitchen. Now let's tell everyone about it. When did this start and why Manlid's Kitchen and how is it going so far?
Okay, so that's a breather question. Thank you for this question. So Manlid's Kitchen was named after my parents. It's a combination of Manuel and Lydia. That's Manlid's Kitchen. Yes. So I come from a family of good cooks. My dad is an Ilocano and my mom is a Bicolana. And both were good cooks. I also admire my Aunt Norma. No? She's also a Bicolana. And she cooks very well. I also love cooking and I love to eat good food. Since high school, I wanted to cook, but I didn't have the chance and the time to do much of it. So now, having finished my cardiology training and having established my practice in my clinic, I decided to pursue my other passion, that is cooking. And my partner in life and in cooking, no, my co-owner, he loves, is also half Pampangueño. No?
So that's why.
Yes, he comes from the culinary capital of the Philippines. So he's also very good cook. So that's the idea of Manlid's Kitchen. Yeah. We started out, last February of 2017 as an online food business wherein we offered home-cooked dishes in food trays or pack meals. Then later on, we ventured into buffet catering. And luckily, we were recognized by some award-giving bodies as one of the best caterers here in Cebu. Ooh. But, and yeah, thank you for that. But unfortunately, though, we had to stop our buffet catering during the pandemic. We only were left with food trays and packed meals.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing 5 years already. And,
wow.
We're good.
How do I find this? How do I order it, Doc?
Yeah, we have a page. Facebook page. Just look for Mandis Kitchen. Okay. Yeah, you can order. You can actually directly or Dilak, or you can tell Nico here.
Zana, you should try Boskilak's chicken feet. It's not on the menu apparently, but he does a mean chicken feet.
Mm. Yes, I do actually like the Bicolino's, you know, Bicolino's cooking. Because I found Bicolino's cooking is more spicy. Because I love spicy food.
Yes.
Oh, so you're going to love it.
Bicolino's. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you're Bicolino's use a lot of chili, isn't it, Doug?
Yes, correct. Mm-hmm. They love spicy food and also coconut milk.
Yes, coconut milk. I've been trying, you know, like Mindanao's cooking, you know, but I think it's like the Bicolino's cooking, it's actually more of my taste because of the spiciness and using a lot of coconut milk as well.
Yeah.
So I'm a Malaysian. So I think like the Malaysian cooking is quite close to Bicolino's.
True. Yeah.
Now, Doc says, I know you're a busy person, but I got two more questions for you. I know, and we all know doctors, you all have really tight schedules, especially for you. You service what? Four locations, three hospitals, and you have a clinic. At the same time, you have your online food business, that is. You still exercise. I see pictures of you on social media. You still box. You keep yourself fit. Give us an idea how you plot your week out. Do you plot it like on a daily basis? Do you do it on a weekly basis? Do you do it on a monthly basis? Like, how do you juggle the calendar?
Yeah, so I love this question also. Actually, I started out this idea of exercising in high school. I was a softball player and I was into karate from I think third year high school up to second year college. I really love sports and martial arts. So as a cardiologist, I need to walk the talk. The only way I can convince my patients to live healthy, to exercise, and to stay fit is by doing so myself.
That makes sense.
Right. And I age also. I'm already 48. So when you reach the age of 40 and up, you know, you experience a lot of new symptoms like body aches, fatigue, lower metabolism.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I decided again to really go back to exercising, boxing. So the brighter side of this pandemic is that I was given more time to do this thing that I couldn't possibly do before the pandemic time.
Mm-hmm.
Before the pandemic time, I held, as I mentioned early on, I held clinics every day, morning, afternoon. But during the pandemic, I had a lot of time, I had more time to exercise. Yeah. So with the invitation also of my friends, I decided to join boxing. Boxing only initially, then into kickboxing, given my background in martial arts also. It's really a matter of discipline, time management. Now I hold clinics in Cebu Doctors only on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays in the morning. And I do kickboxing in the afternoon around 3 p.m. after I make my clinic, I make my rounds and after the clinic. And at Apple One Community Hospital, I just hold clinics Tuesdays and Thursdays in the afternoon, about 4 and 5 in the afternoon. Yeah. So, and during this pandemic, we are actually required to see only about 5 to 10 patients per day.
Okay.
Yes. Unlike before that we can see like 20 or more patients a day. So I have more time doing other things.
That also helps with the coping. Right. That's actually good. That's interesting because I know some what they do is like they write things on a calendar on a daily, but I like how it's already plotted on a weekly. So yes. it's not something that you have to check every day. Like what am I supposed to do today? What am I? Mm. At least that's good.
And Saturdays and Sundays left for dating, with Gilat
or going out
with friends. Yeah.
No, that's something both of you have in common, Zana and Doxess. Both of you are active women. So that's good. I mean, Zana here bikes, and she bikes a lot. So apart from that, she travels. She has actually traveled the country more than I have. I'm the Pinoy, and she's gone to more places than I have.
Yeah, I do love traveling. Mm-hmm. I miss traveling. No, so for 2 years already, I haven't traveled. So hopefully by next year, hopefully.
Yes, we are crossing fingers on that. Now, Doc says one last question. Yeah. What advice can you give all our millennials listening to this podcast who are still trying to figure out their way into the corporate jungle?
Okay, so this is actually my most awaited question. Last night, I typed everything in my notepad.
Wow,
so as not to miss out on anything on the advice. No? So my advice to our young listeners, first lang sa ha, who want to pursue the medical field, okay? Mm-hmm. Although you are in the BPO field or what have you, no? But some would still want to go into or pursue medical studies. No? I have one classmate before who was already an engineer, but later on realized that he wanted to become a doctor. And he's a successful doctor right now, no? So first is have self-discipline. Mm-hmm. Second, be patient. Do not just give up easily. Third, you have to study if you really want to become a doctor. But you have to rest and recreate during your free time. And then pray a lot. And here's one. Oh, this is very common. Be prepared to miss out on a lot in your love life, in your social life.
Okay.
In family gatherings, yes, I for one miss out in a lot of birthdays, weddings of my best friends. Yes, you have to be prepared for that. And for those who are starting or have already started their career, number one, you set your goals. Know what you want to do with your life, and you start from there. But of course, you have to pray for guidance, because you have to remember always that what you want to do, what you want to become, might not be what God is planning for you, right? You are doing. Yes, and be passionate in what you do. And this one is very important. Save for the rainy days.
True.
But enjoy life. Enjoy life. Have a bank account. Have a bank account. Pay all the bills. Yes.
Pay true, all the true.
And then save some in the bank. But of course, you have to reward yourself every now and then. Buy what you need first, then what you like after. Yes. And this one, I want to really emphasize. Get a life and health insurance before, reaching the age of 30, 35 or earlier. Then also get a retirement plan later on. And itong, even burial plans, plans they have. Get all those necessary insurances in your...
Like a safety blanket.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Next, do not settle for mediocrity. But there's a big but there. You have to have also self-contentment. You have to have limitations also. And then don't stay on your comfort zone. Try something different. And then this one, a millennial word, YOLO. So you YOLO. Only remember this. Right? You only live once. Yes. So do some other passions, no? And this one, have a bucket list. A list of what you would want to do in your lifetime. I started one when I was in high school. Even until now. Siguro it has already reached mga 800 plus. Bucket list. What you want to do. You want to sing in a wedding. To travel. You want to, you have to have those bucket lists and check on what you have done already. No? And lastly, advice to the listeners as a doctor. Huh? So number one, get vaccinated or get the booster dose. Be a responsible citizen. follow the COVID protocols of hand washing, social distancing, wear masks properly, and disinfection. Because, you know, the virus is still here. It keeps on mutating. It keeps on coming up with different variants. Mm-hmm. Next, you have to read legit articles from WHO, yes, and the DOH.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. If you're not sure of your sources, you can ask your friendly MD. Or don't share it right away. Mm-hmm. Avoid fake news, especially from social media.
That's right.
Yes, and help the government and help us doctors disseminate about vaccination and educate your friends and relatives who still are not vaccine believers. Because lastly, you know, the only way we can stop this pandemic is to reach herd immunity and to strengthen more our immune system. I think that's about it. Mm. Thank you very much.
Wow, that was a mouthful, but I love how real like the advices were. Those were like real advices for millennials.
It came from the heart. I really want to make sure that I covered everything. I typed it all in my notepad so as not to forget anything.
Mm. And very much appreciated too. Doc says, thank you so much for your time. Now, for those who are listening right now, if they're interested to probably get a consultation from you, how can they reach you?
Yeah. Okay. First of all, thank you again for inviting me in this podcast. It is a very great opportunity. So for those who have cardiac problems or heart problems are not problems.
Not romantic problems. Okay. Okay.
With problems of the heart, I can also give a tip or two, but we'll just concentrate on cardiac problems. No? Even with hypertension, high cholesterol level, you can visit me. I have a clinic at Cebu Doctors Medical Arts 2 building, room 419A, MWF, 10 to 12 noon.
Mm-hmm.
And then in Visayas Community Medical Center, or now Apple One Visayas Community Medical Center, PTH, no? Tuesdays and Thursdays, room 127, that's 4 to 5 p.m. And you can also visit me at my health clinic, Cybergate, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, 2 to 3 p.m.
Now, about those who want to order food from Manly's Kitchen? Where can they reach you guys?
Manly's Kitchen, you can visit our FB page. You can PM us there for your food trays, hassle-free food trays, no? And packed meals.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also text us or call us at 0925-730-6929 for inquiries and orders.
So that's Manlid's Kitchen, MANLYD apostrophe S.
Kitchen. Manlid's Kitchen, correct.
Alrighty, Ru. So thank you so much, Doc Sass.
Thank you very much, Dana and Nico.
Thank you for the time.
I'm going to order now. I'm hungry.
Yay!
Go ahead.
And on that note, we end our podcast. This has been Finding Mojo with Zana and Nico. This podcast is brought to you by our friends from BSA Solutions Incorporated. Till the next one. Cheers. Bye.
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 This has been Finding Mojo with Zana and Nico, where we help millennials get started in their journey to contented life by building the networks of life and at the same time, benefiting the people around them.